This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boinodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with.
Welcome to episode 129, Rock Out. Hello, welcome yet again to another edition of GamesAtWork.biz. This is Michael Martin. I'm coming to you live, or maybe recorded to you. It's live to me on Friday. Gosh, what is today? It's the 4th of December with my...
The 4th of December.
Ooh, may the 4th be with you, Michael.
Yes, or the December 4th, or I don't know. That doesn't work. How's it going, Michael?
It's going great. So you got a pair of Michaels with you today. Phaedra is in transit, so we're missing her.
I think she's somewhere over the Pacific right now. No, the Atlantic.
Okay. I thought it was Atlantic.
Well, it depends. So, if the plane's going the wrong way, she could be over the Pacific by now.
It could. Well, we've got some fun stuff to be talking about here because there's a lot to be thankful about. You know, I'm thankful for my co-hosts. I'm thankful for my audience. I'm thankful for a lot of things post Thanksgiving. I'm thankful as all get out for leftovers. And it's going to be some fun things that we have to share with you. So, Michael, one of the things I know you're very thankful for is the arrival of your new piece of shiny equipment.
Ooh, it is shiny. So, actually, the day after Thanksgiving, I got my notification that my device that was supposed to show up yesterday, so December 3rd, was actually at the Apple Store. So, yay. I have my brand new iPad Mega. No. The iPad Pro, and with the Apple keyboard, the Pencil shipped today. It should show up on Tuesday.
Ooh, nice.
So I'm looking forward to that too. And all I can say is wow.
Wow.
Wow. It really is good. I mean, I know just like, when the iPad first came out, everyone's like, oh, it's just a big iPhone. And this is, it's just a big iPad. It's a nice big iPad for one. I mean, it is huge, which I love because I like the screen resolution, the screen space, right? All the fact that if an application has been rewritten in the last 2 years, and when they rewrote the UI, they did what Apple was recommending 2 years ago about using auto-sizing layout screens, mm-hmm. then the app natively can be used in a split screen mode on the iPad and allow you to do two things at once and have them both running at the same time and actually, you know, cut and paste between them and all that good stuff. And so it's amazing how many apps have had new UI designs who have done none of that. But the ones yeah. that have, it's really surprising. It actually just works. I had seen some reviews early on, people complaining, oh, the Apple keyboard doesn't have an escape key or things of that nature. And you know what?
You don't need it.
It don't need it. It doesn't matter. Any app that has enabled keyboard shortcuts, mm-hmm. which I think is also used by Force Touch on the iPhone, you hold down the command key on the little added keyboard and it pops up a little menu that says these are all the things you can do with the keyboard.
Oh, cool.
And as somebody who has developed apps in the environment, in the simulator on your Mac, when you're testing out your code, the Command Shift H key is your home button. And lo and behold, that's the keyboard, sequence, so you don't have to hit the escape key that brings you back to the menu or i.e. the home screen. So it just works. It's very nice.
Does that work everywhere? I mean, or is it a possibility that somebody overmaps that Command Shift H?
Well, that's a good question because I have seen that some of the keys get overmapped by applications badly. Mm-hmm. I won't mention the apps because hopefully they'll fix it soon. But I was trying to do cut and paste. So I would bring in one password, look up my password for an application, and then within that application, try to paste it. But they've overmapped Command V.
Ooh.
it's like, well, that's not going to work. So then you have to, you know, go up and touch the screen and press and hold and wait for the paste button to pop up and hit paste. But mostly apps are pretty well behaved. Like I said, it just works, and it's huge. It is huge, but that's what I wanted. That's exactly what I wanted. And I've actually done an experiment for the last week to try to use it as my sole machine for work.
Right.
And I can get right now, with a bunch of apps not being updated yet, I can get about 80%. I'm about 80% there. And so for like short trips, just like a couple of years ago, I did that with the basic iPad. I think I'll be able to do it with this and actually be even more productive with the keyboard, right? Because I'm a keyboard guy. I'm really good at the keyboard. And when I'm on my Mac, my laptop, I do find myself trying to touch the screen. So this actually gives me that ability. And it I have to agree with Leo Laporte. It's really nice for games, too.
Well, I think you're going to find your productivity is actually going to go up even more once you have the pencil. Because I've had a chance to play with an iPad Pro and a pencil as well. And one of the neat things that I saw around it was the ability to manipulate information on the screen, including in spreadsheets, by using the pencil for the granularity. So the things you would used to have to do, you know, by pressing the shift key and the arrow up and down keys to select ranges and stuff like that, you can do with the pencil.
Oh,
so
cool.
I think when you get the pencil and you start to explore a little bit, it's not all about drawing, you know, smiley faces on stuff. It's actual.
Sometimes it's frowny faces.
Or frowny faces. Well, in your case, it's mostly happy stuff though,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Happy, happy, joy, joy.
You're a happy guy. So I'll be very eager to see how your experiment continues, and whether for, you know, like any upcoming short trips you might have, you're going to say, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to take the iPad and that's all I'm taking and let's see how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward. I've got a test coming up in about a week and a half and I definitely, and that one I know I won't be able to use it exclusively because I'm going to be doing some demos that require my laptop. And then I've got one in the beginning of the year, which I think I will be able to get away with it. So we'll give it a shot for those travel trips. So when did you get to play with the pencil? That I had not heard that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you and I hadn't had a chance to chat about that or many other things. We've been so zippy busy here the last few days. We had a set of them come into the office, the keyboards and pencils and stuff. And
the office?
Yeah, you know. So
none of them got lost?
No.
Oh, darn it.
Yeah. One could always hope that there might be just one line around that it wasn't spoken for, but, you know, whatever. What I liked about the pencil was in the places where you use it for drawing purposes, you can have different nibs kind of set up for it.
Yeah.
And one of them was like a very wide chisel marker kind of nib. And I'll send you a picture so you can see it. It was just like, wow, that's really cool. And then the fine point of, you know, drawing something or just using handwriting, it drew marvelously thin lines and it was extremely responsive. So much better than I was expecting it would actually be.
That's awesome. I really am looking forward to it.
Well, you bought the pencil too from the company that did Pages, right?
Paper,
yeah.
Paper by 53.
53, yes.
Yes. Yeah, so I have that one too, but that one's really, it is a capacitive touch device.
Right.
That also has some Bluetooth in it. The Apple Pencil is purely via Bluetooth.
Yep.
So it really does make a big difference on how it interacts.
And the palm rejection is supposed to be huge too, because
because the other one you're constantly lifting your wrist up, so you're not writing in your natural manner.
Yeah, so I'll be very curious to know from you if you start using it for note taking, and if you find that you're able to search and retrieve the things that you're looking for easily. Those are the things I think are going to be very interesting to see how functional and useful it is, because I find myself when I'm note taking on the Mac, I'm putting the detail into Growly Notes and other things that are just making it super easy for me to find later what it is that I had, because it's not just, oh, I'm going to reread my notes in the evening before I go on to my next, you know, thing the next day. I need to find this stuff sometimes a week or two afterwards.
Yeah, it's funny because I used to be a big user of Graffiti when I had a Palm Pilot and my Palm Trio. So I used to take notes in a meeting using Graffiti, which is that specialized pen.
Well, it was handwriting. It was handwriting.
It was
that language of handwriting. Yeah,
where you allowed the computer to understand you better instead of trying to make the computer just understand writing in general.
Right.
But, you know, that was, gosh, 15 years ago. No, longer than that. This is like 98 when I was really, really into it, right? So imagine when you actually have a device that's designed for it again. I'm hoping that the handwriting allows it to interpret my data. I've got an app on my iPad and my iPhone called Stylus, that allows you to write in the keyboard area, and it interprets that into text as you write. And I'm wondering how well that might work with the Apple Pencil.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see too, because I think that's going to become a need as the Pencil really gains adoption and people are going to say, I need something more like an optical character recognition translation layer for my handwriting. And I don't expect that we're going to go back to Graffiti or something like that, because I think people are going to really say, yeah, this is not my fingertip doing the reverse gamma to get, you know, a T or something. It's
right,
this is what I need to have the machine adopt to me rather than me to the machine.
Yep.
But we'll see. But we shall see.
Yeah, so exciting.
Speaking
stuff.
Of people adopting capabilities to help and work with machines, one of the things that I came across in my newsfeed this morning, and I just went wah.
You went
was,
wah?
I went well. No, I didn't go wah. I didn't go wah. I went wah.
You went wah.
Maybe more like that. Okay.
I've been a big
Rock Band fan for quite a while, and I've had the game, we've had the drum sets, we've had multiple guitars, we've had all kinds of good fun stuff on our early PlayStation versions, and you know, there's still times when one of the songs that comes on that, you know, I'd play again and again and again. It just, I won't say master because I didn't, but to be able to do it reasonably well,
yes.
Comes on the radio, I'm like, oh yeah, that was really fun. I love that. And I love how I've not played it yet, but I love how that the Rock Band Harmonics team have collaborated to have an Apple TV app to allow for that kind of experience there. I'm really excited to give that a go. But here's where I think this is really the next step, and starting to meld in the virtual reality 3D internet kind of stuff in a very immersive game structure. And that is the pairing up of the Oculus Rift with the concept of Rock Band. So you are having a 360 degree view of your environment while you're playing the songs.
Oh,
and,
cool.
I mean, you know, the little video that was put out there by the Harmonix team on this is very much teaser. They don't have a ton of video of what it's going to look like to play the game. And I think there's going to be some challenges too about how do you represent the fingerings and the notes so that you can see what it is you're supposed to do. Or maybe by the time you're playing it with the Oculus, you've already mastered the song. So your fingers already know what to do to play the song. And now you're getting the visual stimuli of the crowd going crazy and other stuff going on. But I was very excited when I had a look at this earlier today.
I think they should do this, not just for the Guitar Hero part, but really all of Rock Band, right? So you know, for those of us who play Rock Band and just do the singing part.
Yeah.
We have it much easier.
Well, that's true.
Because all they need to do is position the microphone in space.
Yeah. And then you could walk around the microphone or, you know.
Yeah.
You could do the, what they were showing in there, the heavy metal hair whip, you know, kind of movement. The bald or semi-bald guy doing the hair whip, you know, was pretty funny.
But I guess they don't throw the bus in for free.
No.
Because you got to have a party bus.
Yeah, and real groupies versus virtual groupies, and you know, stage hands and stuff that carry your equipment. Yeah, that'll all be really good, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, that's what you need. But no, I thought, I mean, thanks for sending the video over for the show. I mean, it was cool. It was very cool. I agree. I think, the whole, how do you take a game like Rock Band and take it to the next level? And you know how much I like that phrase.
Yes. yeah. Well, and this could.
And this does it, right? Because it immerses you even more. It's not just that you're playing, but now you're experiencing all the rest of it.
So it springs to mind, okay, now what else could use the Oculus Rift treatment?
I think business meetings. So since we all sit at home and we're on phone calls all the time, if you could have the Oculus on, you could all sit in a virtual space together and stare at each other and make faces.
You could, but you would need a camera too, and that would look kind of goofy that, you know, I'm looking at you looking at me through your Oculus Rift and I can't see any of your facial expressions because you're wearing this big old thing over your eyes.
But see, then they could like use special fabric to have like fake versions of my eyes on the outside of my Oculus Rift. Call them Googly Rift.
yeah, that could be funny. Kind of like in Google Hangouts, you can have like the hat that, you know, sits on your head virtually, right?
Yes. No, but seriously, I mean, just remember, 8-9 years ago when all the virtual world stuff was a big deal, that was one of the use cases was, how do you engage people more in face-to-face meetings when it's all on the conference calls and everybody's remote? And you want to be able to read those body languages. You want to be able to understand, you know, are they really focused on the discussion or are they doing their email, right?
What'd you say?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just got interrupted by instant message. Can you repeat that? No. I wasn't playing Candy Crush.
Level 32. I know nothing about that.
but yeah, so the basic premise there, right? That how do you increase engagement? And maybe it isn't virtual worlds, it's virtual reality overlaying or even augmented reality. So that you're able to see what the other person's seeing, and vice versa.
Yeah. My feeling is that would be the next really nice generation, so that you could have the virtual whiteboard and you could draw and explain and show in ways that you just can't. You know, I had a meeting earlier today where it was a video meeting and that was great. And we did some screen sharing and that was great. But there was just so much more that was missing because you couldn't easily manipulate the objects, or you just had the interface layer of text, you know, that it's limiting in a lot of ways. Right.
Yeah. But no, yes, but no.
Yes, but no, yes, I agree, but no.
Yes, I don't agree. No, I do agree. So the thing about it, otherwise, you know, we've talked about many different examples, of augmented reality and, you know, Google Glass is another example where you have that overlay that provides you context. I think the part that becomes more engaging and, again, is the idea that you and I interact and see each other, right?
Yeah.
When you take that virtual environment on top of it, it's not just, you know, that Fred is remote and he's got his VR headset on, sees everybody else in the conference room. It's got to be two ways, for that kind of that social interaction and engagement on there. Now, in a true gaming fashion, Rock Band, well, that's different, right? You're sitting at home playing your Rock Band guitar, or your drums or whatever. If everybody's in it and you can bring in that remote aspect. So, you know, I'm playing, drums at my house, you're playing guitar at yours, and we both experience that same rock concert experience on stage, right? That's where it, to me, just gets so much more engaging.
Yeah, and that collaborative experience over distance is, I think, an area that just hasn't been exploited nearly enough. There's so much of the second screen experience that happens right now where you and I might be watching Doctor Who and we might be texting one another back and forth, well, you know, what if there are other people that want to be in on that? What if there were channels that you could kind of further tune into and enjoy the experience with other people? What if there were ways that you could mute the annoying guy and highlight the really insightful person who's got some neat things always to say, and you want that to show up and have it be right there? Mm-hmm. These are things I've been thinking about for a while, and we haven't seen them yet. You know, there really ought to be like an app for your television that allows a crawl on the bottom of your screen to be superimposed by people that you follow on Twitter while you're watching a sporting event or while you're watching a movie or a TV episode, that you're having now a multi-layer engagement opportunity as opposed to glancing down at your phone and maybe missing a key point of the TV show, right?
Yeah, and if you look at companies like In-Air, right, the one that I backed their Kickstarter a couple of years ago, right, where you have that 3D overlay on a standard 3D television, and I'll put links to this in the show notes. They are kind of starting down that path for that shared experience, but it's just data based. It's amazing how long it's taking to get kicked off.
We should have flying cars by now,
and jetpacks. I think there's stuff, actually the name of the company was C-Space, and the app was called In-Air. And if you think about that as one example of starting down that path, you can imagine instead of doing that overlay on a TV, the overlay's in the virtual environment. And I like your point of, you know, Bob over there saying something important, you know, as the moderator of a meeting, maybe you actually can spin the virtual environment so everybody kind of focuses towards Bob.
Yeah. And bring those people together. Or, I mean, alternately, I mean, there is something to be said for really bringing people together too, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
We do so much over distance, and that's so much of, I know you're in my day-to-day experience, that having the chance to just sit around a table with people and kind of thrash things out, is maybe not a luxury we should aspire to, but rather the way we ought to be working. Like
that's the bare minimum. You start with that as an assumption.
Yeah.
And I'm working a couple of projects right now where it'd be really nice if we could do that, if we could bring everybody together. But when you're talking global teams, sometimes you can't do that. So what's the next best thing? And that virtual environment, virtual reality overlay for meetings and interactions, it's been our vision we've been talking about for, you know, 10 plus years now.
Yeah, absolutely. So going back to the thought of what would the next set of things, games, et cetera, that Oculus could be applied to, I think the ones that are super easy to think about are anything that
Crossy Road,
like flying, driving. You know, a lot of the first-person shooters that Fader has been talking about before, you know, military training kind of things do actually have and exist today. A defined space that you're in, and you've got your headset and headgear on, with information coming in through your eyes and speakers or headphones into your ears too, and that you can move around within a defined space. Remember that there was something that you'd shown. It was kind of like this enclosure that you would step into and stand in, and then you could
like a cave,
it's like a treadmill sort of thing.
Oh yeah, that was from CES 2 years ago.
Yeah,
I think it was 2 years, maybe it was last year, but basically they were a Kickstarter also, and it was a concave like treadmill, and you had these special socks on. And as you walked, it transferred your walking motion, which of course you didn't go anywhere because it went in every direction.
Right.
It would move your physical walking motion into the virtual environment. And they were actually showing it off with Oculus Rift.
Yep.
And that set, and they had a belt that would strap around your waist, and as you leaned and walked, that would be the direction and the speed, etc. So it had multiple sensors. And if you think about it right now, the types of the cost of this stuff's got to go down even more, right?
Oh,
because
sure.
The types of sensors they're talking about is a simple accelerometer, like every single phone cell phone and Fitbit and smartwatch has
it,
right?
I mean,
they're everywhere. So the ability to take and extend physical movement into these virtual spaces is so much easier.
You could easily imagine, too, with the way these hoverboard, which are not really hoverboards, they're really like skateboards with motors,
they're really Segways.
Yeah, well, they
are.
It really is
a Segway.
Yeah, it's a very skinny, small Segway.
Yep.
But you can imagine having one of those that doesn't go anywhere, but it transmits your motion into a game environment.
Yeah.
Right, so you don't need to have something quite as big as that.
Yeah, I could imagine that.
Isn't that amazing, things you can imagine?
Imagine
it's basically unlimited.
In a world.
Oh, I love it. So Michael, you and I both took some time away for Thanksgiving. Did did you do anything fun?
Absolutely.
That flicks right into what we're describing here?
Yes. Speaking of virtual environments, I saw a movie.
No way. Did you suspend belief?
I actually, it was a historical movie. It was.
So you wanted to believe.
I wanted so bad to believe that this actually happened, because it did. Bridge of Spies with Tom Hanks, which was just awesome. And I enjoyed seeing that. It was nice to just get out and sit in a dark theater with a small group of people, because not a lot of people were seeing movies that day, and just enjoy watching a movie and kind of vegging out from work and shows and everything else. How about yourself?
That's great. Well, we had family over, so we did all kinds of great cooking, and it was just a really nice time to be with our family, both from the folks that are close by and those that are far away, who'd come to visit us, and that was just really delightful.
Enjoyed the heck
out of that. Yeah. So as we look into the next couple of weeks here, because 2015 is about to go away, it's about to expire, any ideas that you want to leave our listeners with, or any suggestions of what they need to try before they close out the year, Michael?
I would like to hear from our listeners what's the one game they're looking for as holiday gifts this year.
That would be very interesting. I'd love to hear that too.
I've been following.
We can talk about that.
Yeah, I've been following, some of them on Twitter, and people that I know who give us information every once in a while for the show. I think Star Wars? Not Battlefront. What's it called? Battlefield?
It's something like that. Battlefield, or it might be Battlefront. I don't know. I've heard such wonderful things about it.
It just looks awesome. So I think that's one of them a lot of people are. Yeah, it's Star Wars Battlefield is one of them. No, Battlefront. Gosh, why do I keep saying Battlefront? Battlefront.
Front.
Battlefront.
Not back.
Battlefront.
What front?
Front battle. is one I know people are talking about, but what are some of the other games?
Lego Dimensions. That was just announced a little ways ago, so that looks kind of fun. There's of course all the Harmonix stuff, which we gave like a long commercial here for. So
yes,
that should be fun too.
And we're looking forward to getting our check for that one.
Yeah, we'll keep looking.
Yeah, we'll keep looking. Yeah.
Check the mail every day.
Trust us, it's coming.
Yeah, I think there'll be I'm interested. I'm curious to know what other people think are going to be like the big hits for this year.
So I do have one other thing. In our never-ending story of what game are you playing this week?
Yeah.
I did try something new the other day.
Ooh.
On my Windows 10 machine during the holiday, I installed the Minesweeper. Not Minesweeper. Minecraft. See, you threw me off because you said mine, and I knew it was mine something. The free Minecraft, you get like 30 hours worth of testing on it. And, yeah, wasn't that excited.
Well, you know, that's that. Now here's something interesting. So I'm in this not quite soundproof room, but almost soundproof room.
Yeah.
And there's some housekeeping vacuuming going on behind me, and it's kind of cool that I'm not really hearing much of it.
I'm not hearing it, so hopefully it's not coming through on the recording.
Yeah, well, and if it is, then you guys know what it is.
Really?
Yeah, because I told you.
Yeah.
Unless you weren't listening. So, all right, well, we are definitely at time here, so thank you all for listening and being part of the show and in every capacity, from a listener, submitter of ideas, commentator, retweeter, et cetera. We're looking forward to closing out the year with a bang, and we'd love to have your thoughts and ideas on what you think the games are for this holiday season that are going to be just the top ones. And we'll look to talk about that next week.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks, everybody.
See ya.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.